Did you have a good week last Sunday? Yeah? We weren't here. You missed us. Yeah, then. And we had a lovely time. We were in sunny Nottinghamshire. And I'm sure you had the sun as well. We had a good time. We had a good time reflecting on the things of God too. I've got the names of five people to start with, and I'm going to read them out, all five of them, and I want you to tell me why and what they were famous for. Okay, for example, Walt Disney, Mickey Mouse, children's movie, all right. Movies, all right? Did you know that Walt Disney was sacked by a newspaper editor for lack of ideas? And he went bankrupt, I think it was 3 or 4 times before he built Disneyland. Or plans for it. How about Michael Jordan? Now, Daniel, he knows, Mum. All right. Go on. Tell us, Daniel. Michael Jordan. He's a probably, I don't know any other name of any other basketball player but Michael Jordan. But did you know this about Michael Jordan? He didn't make his high school basketball team until he was in year 10. You'd have thought he'd have started out at 8 years old, popping them in, wouldn't you? How about Beethoven? Music. Pardon? Yes. Right. See, notice the age there. Beethoven was a classical pianist and composer. His teacher called him hopeless as a composer. Imagine that. And that dog. How about Winston Churchill? Pardon? He was a politician. Anybody know when? During the war. 1700s, there we are. Well, he was pretty old in the war.
I wasn't around then, guys.
Right? I read this about Winston Churchill this week. He failed his sixth year in school and had to do it again. And he didn't become Prime Minister until he was 62. Yeah, a senior citizen nearly. And imagine, 62. Finally, this is for the fellas, okay? Henry Ford. Car manufacturer. T? T Ford? The Model T, I thought you meant. PG. Yes, Henry Ford. But did you know he was broke completely 5 times before he succeeded in the motor industry? These 5 people, how we remember them and their journey to that. Now, what's common to each of these 5 people? Sorry there were ladies, but those are nothing there. Don't read anything into that, okay? What was common? They kept trying. Pardon? The fact that some of them had money and lost it. Yeah. They didn't allow. They didn't give up. They didn't allow the fears of the past. They didn't allow the defeats and the failures to hold them back from reaching their full potential. That's right. They didn't give up as Gwyneth said, even though others said that they would never amount to much. Those people, they each went for and achieved their dreams. As you know, we as a church have planned and we believe that God wants us to conduct a number of faith-stretching outreach activities over the next few months in Blackburn. Do you know what they are? It's something to do with healing. Healing on the streets, all right? We've invited somebody over at the end of November to do a little bit of training, and then what? We're going to go out and offer to people. We're going to pray for your healing. Anything else we're planning to do or doing? Alpha course starting in January 2017. And it's a kind of a church-wide thing. And we're going to be holding it in the Exchange building. That's two things. Any other things? The carol service. Where? Wesley Hall, where we used to meet on Sundays. And we're opening it up to all of Blackburn. Now, how are we opening it all up? By word of mouth, yes. And leaflets. Now, I got excited when I saw the top of here. Do you know why? Because I left 2,000 on there 2 weeks ago. And there's only one. Does that mean? He's reading my mind. Does that mean we've given out 1,999? I'm going to move that, Steve. I'm jumping about a bit today. Where are you with this? 30,000 to give out before the end of the year. Oh, I'm going to get so fit. Aren't we all? Just think of it as exercise. All right? And watch the dogs behind the letterbox. That's all I say. All right? Because I've done a fair bit of leafleteering in my time. Now, the more I think and the more I pray about these different ventures of faith, because that's what they are, because we haven't seen the results yet. So these are all steps of faith, all right? The more I believe that we, as a church here at Community Church Blackburn, and the church-wide in Blackburn, and more closely to home, each one of us, we need to prepare. That has consumed me for this holiday. Preparation. We need to use the next 2 months preparing for what God is going to do. You see, God gives us pictures of what he's going to do. I'm going to be ready. And I pray that each one of us might feel like that as well. I believe that God wants to prepare us and unite us with other Christians in the town. Why? In order to be effective for him. You see, because if we're not prepared, we're not going to be as effective as God wants us to be. And just because we do all four and we've got it all set up, they don't automatically happen. We've got a part to play. God's got a part to play. And we've got a part to play afterwards. And over this message today, I hope you see that thread going through. Because I believe that's what God wants us to hear. There's something else I believe about these ventures of faith. Is that if we do step out in faith and we trust God in them, then God, being the faithful And the gracious God that he is, what's he going to do? He's going to equip us completely with everything that we need to do them. So if you feel lacking in strength, in faith, in power, I want you to hear that today. That all that we need to venture into these areas, God is going to give us. Everything that we need, because he promised. Now my challenge today is this. Are we, as individuals, willing to do this? Are we ready to do this? Are we, as a church, prepared? If God has promised a mighty harvest, and are we preparing God's way? I was going to bring a loaf of bread in this morning, because I'm a baker. You wouldn't believe that looking at me, would you? I use a machine. They all say, dead easy. It is. In fact, I made one yesterday during the day when we got back from holiday. And it only requires you to do three things. Follow the manufacturer's instructions. So you get the pack of bread. And it's got everything in it. It's miracle bread. You don't need yeast. You don't need sugar. You don't need salt. You don't need bicarb. You don't need flour. And you don't need nuts. Because we like nuts. Because we're like nuts. Okay? And you need water. And of course, the machine to put it in. Now, what has bread got to do with this message? All right? I'm not talking about Jesus feeding the 5,000 men plus women and children, say 20,000. All right? It's, if I want to make bread in my machine, what have I got to do? Go by the instructions, right? If we want to do a work for God, what have we got to do? Go by the maker's instructions. We find them in here. We've got to wait on God. So if we don't know, we look in the book of instructions. Or we wait upon God in prayer. Why? Because it's a two-way thing. And God's going to communicate to us. This morning, to help us understand what's required of us and how we're to go about it, I want us to consider two stories from the Bible. God asked two different sets of his people on two separate occasions to perform the same task. And I want us to consider how they each responded to it. Now, can you guess what that is? There are two accounts of Jesus sending out disciples in the Gospels, but it's not that one. Right, let me see if I can give you a few clues. It was first asked of the people of Israel under Moses, and then it was asked again of the people of Israel under Joshua. Spies are part of it, going into the promise. Right. Going in to possess the promised land. Right? Now, the first account is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, and a little bit into chapter 14. The Joshua account is found in chapter 3, going on a little into chapter 4. And we're going to see how they're different. Okay? Firstly, the story from the book of Numbers. Now, I read in chapter 13 in Numbers, when God told the people of Israel to enter the promised land under Moses, it wasn't the first time that God had said that. Did you know that? If you know your Bible, back into the book of Genesis, God told a man, he had his name changed, Abram. That's right. Abram was told by God to leave his land, Haran, and go to inherit the land. And to go to obey God, even though he didn't know where he was going. That's the first time we come across this sort of exodus like that. And it actually says in the Heroes of Faith chapter in Hebrews 11, right? It says in chapter 11 that Abraham obeyed even though he didn't know where he was going. All right? Now, back to Moses. God told Moses to lead the people the same into the promised land. He told them, what was this land going to be about? What's that phrase that's used in the Bible to describe it? A land flowing with milk and honey. Put your hands up if you like milk. Hands down. Put your hands up if you like honey. Well, put your hands up if you like both. Great. A land flowing with milk and honey. Right? It was a fantastic place for food. It wasn't just milk and it wasn't just honey. And what did they have to do? They had to go in and possess it. That's what he told them. Right? To start with, God told Moses to send out how many spies? 12. Where did each come from? One from each of the 12 tribes, right? So off they go. And if you read right at the beginning of Numbers 13, you get the names of each of these spies. This isn't James Bond, okay? They're given the names. They're there, all right? Their names of each one from the tribes. They had to go in and, as the name suggests, spy out the land. And that's what they did. They were there for 40 days. Nearly 6 weeks, spying out the land, all right? And they came back. What did they first say to the people? No, that wasn't the first thing. It's just as you've called it. It's just as you've said. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. I thought they came, but they didn't. It's just as you have said. It does flow with milk and honey. And to prove it, there were two guys carrying what? Grapes. A bunch of grapes. Imagine. Grapes the size of apples. And there they are, between two of them, carrying this bunch of grapes. Now, just picture that. Because we can carry these days a box full of grapes. But it was just bunch of grapes. But some of the spies then said what? They followed up with a clinch. There's giants. The people are powerful. What about the cities? They're walled. They're fortresses. They're big. And the people are like giants. They'll devour and they'll defeat us. That was the feeling. Then Caleb, good old Caleb, he pipes up and he silences the people. And this is what he says. We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. That's what he said, Caleb. Joshua remained quiet. Interesting, isn't it? Interesting. That's what Caleb said. But the other spies with Caleb and Joshua, they said, we can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are. And then they spread rumors around the people and they became fearful and thought how difficult it was. Verse 33, somebody's got a Bible? Can you read verse 33 for me? This is what they said about themselves. Go on. Right. We were like grasshoppers. They thought we were like that. And we thought we were like that. In other terms, miniature, weak. That's how they regarded themselves. People have often called this a grasshopper mentality faith. Small, weak. And the people's response was, we can't do it. And we'd be better going back to Egypt. Isn't that sad? Do you feel sad about it? I did when I read that. Just three people were all for it. Moses, Joshua and Caleb. Did they go? No. They didn't go. And guess what? They spent 40 years wandering around in the desert. They followed the cloud and they followed the fire of God. They went over the same ground time and time again. What did they eat? Manna, quail, and water. Or drank water. Now, okay, for a week, it's God's manna. Manna. I've heard once of the translation, it's called God's What's It. All right. What a name for a breakfast cereal. What's It. All right. Manna and quail and water. For the first week, would you enjoy it? Yes, if it's all there is. But for 40 years, that's what they ate. When they could have been eating luscious fruit in the promised land. How sad. They could have been eating like kings. But what else did they do? In those 40 years, the Bible records, they grumbled. They grumbled. They were defeated. They're always looking back to Egypt and the life there. They were full of unbelief and they were full of doubt. And there's something very serious happened. Do you know what it was? They died out. The generation who were going to go in, 40 years, they died out. Apart from two. Now I think many a believer, their lives can be something like that. Their spiritual lives, right? They have a grasshopper faith mentality. They never seem to move on. They never seem to rise to new challenges of faith. And I want to challenge, if that's maybe how where you might be, what's it going to take to move on? And do you want it to change? Now, there's a word that's used in the number account in this story to describe what they're doing. And this word was journeying or setting out. And it had the idea connected to it that they were just milling around, kind of going nowhere. And God doesn't want us to be like that. Now, why did they have to wait 40 years? Why do you think? God had to wait. Have you thought about that? God had to wait. He was going to take his people in, but God had to wait. and the people of Israel had to wait. Why? Because God had to wait for a people that were full of faith. They had three people, Moses, Caleb, Joshua, but God wanted a people full of faith. And so he said, we're going to wait. And we wait for 40 years until they came along. Now, there's a strong emphasis in the scriptures that attitudes like faith and, on the other side of it, doubt, affect what God can do through you and me. Whether we have faith, whether we have unbelief, or whether we have doubt. Believe it or not, God wants to use each one of us. In these ventures of faith, God wants to use each one of us. All right, it's not for a kind of a chosen few, but for each of us. Some people are easily spooked, easily defeated, easily feared. And if we're like that, we won't experience all that God has for us. So that's the story of the people of Israel going and waiting to go in, as it were, into the promised land. But then 40 years later, who comes on the scene? Joshua. Joshua. And he's challenged to do the same thing. God spoke to Joshua first, and if you read the account, Joshua spoke to the people. All right? To go in and possess Canaan, the promised land. Same land. Joshua was a man of faith. The people of Israel were women, women and men of faith. Now, there's a word, just as setting out crops up a lot in the count of the people of Israel under Moses, there's another phrase that keeps crossing over. Crossing over, keeps coming up all the time. Crossing over. Why? Because these people were full of faith. They were going to go for it. They were eager to obey God. They were eager to follow. So when God says, go, step out, take it, take the land, they were ready to go. Now, I believe that we as a people here in Blackburn are people of faith. I have seen faith rise in us. And it's been indicated. And I just feel that's why, to me, the book of Joshua is so 21st century. Because I see faith being demonstrated in our lives as a church. And these faith ventures, we're setting out, folks. All right? We're setting out under God. Now, a question. When you heard about these four events that we were going to do, I wonder whether this question ever crossed your mind. How did you know it was God? Did that ever cross your mind? No? Trusting people. But how did we know this was what God wanted? Someone rang me up on Friday when I was on holiday about a situation. And they had two options from Blackburn. Not nobody here. And they had a very difficult decision to make. And they said to me, Andy, what does God want me to do? And I said, personal guidance for every Christian is a very individualistic thing. Yes, sometimes God might give another Christian help towards guidance for that person. But don't you and I have to make decisions about our Christian lives, our spiritual lives, our lives in general? Isn't it left to us? Yeah? Have you got a line you can ring? No, apart from asking God. You might share it with others, but ultimately we've all got to make lots and lots of very important decisions in our lives. How do we make them? And how do we know that it's what God wants? Now, I was praying about certain principles about guidance here. And the first principle is this. If God is asking you to do something, it never goes against God's kingdom values. So don't ask God, should I do this or should I do that, if it already says in his word not to. But you know, I've met people who do that. I've met people who do that. And they make that decision. If we do that, it's going to cause us harm. Sometime. If we pursue it. And so that leads me on to the question. Do you know what pleases God? Do you know those things that please God? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it's to do with exercising faith. The second principle is this. When God lays on something specific on your heart, it's usually nothing new. It's been round about a long time. Now, what's the problem? We just discover it in this moment in time. We don't realize, or we've done it before, but maybe we weren't ready before. We're called to fulfill the Great Commission and go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus promises to go with us. And he talks about those things that accompany the preaching of the gospel, the kingdom. Healing is mentioned, acts of power, right? God says these will accompany the proclaiming of the gospel. It's just different ways of doing it. The third principle, when God lays something about faith on our hearts, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us. It's not the easy choice, always. It's never a call to comfort and ease and sitting back. There's always a cost involved into it. Some people use that phrase, stepping out of your comfort zone. But it does. It causes us to do that for God. You know, Jesus said this about the kingdom of heaven. And that's what we're doing when we're reaching out. We're pushing back, all right, and expanding the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing. And forceful men, and I'd include women, take hold of it. We've got to be deliberate. We've got to be forceful to take hold of the kingdom for God. And so, are you forceful? Going for the kingdom. The fourth principle, if it's something of God and we go about it God's way, here's a promise. If it's God's will and we go about it God's way, we will get God's fruit. It will always work. Always work. God will always bear God's fruit through these ventures of faith. if we do it God's way. And if we try to accomplish it our way, it won't succeed. Now, that's why I've prepared this. It's a prayer bulletin. And this is the large sheet that's on your chair. And it's all about how I believe God's calling us to pray about all these events. And I thought, we need prayer fuel for this. Things that we need to pray about. Maybe it's not an exhaustive list, but please use this. And of course, if God shows you anything else, share it with us. But I really believe God is calling us to pray. To go about these things God's way. To prepare God's way. The last principle is God's way forward is always revealed and is always realized because God's people, where are their eyes? On God. Hebrews 12. We're looking to Jesus. That's where our focus is. And when God's people are called to do something, our eyes are on God at the beginning until he tells us, and we keep our eyes on God as we're doing it. We've got to do that. That's always the way God works. Now, here's some principles. Now, I thought there's some warnings here as well. Firstly, it's not going to be a smooth, easy path. Actually, getting permission to do the HOTS, I think we started in August. And I think we found out last week officially. There was opposition. Could we expect anything else? Because we're about God's business. So we had to trust God. It's not a smooth, easy path. You know, there's going to be hiccups. I believe that's hiccup number one. I think there's going to be others as well. But God wants us to persevere. The other thing, second warning, is life puts things in the way. All right? It does. If you're trying to move ahead in your life, obstacles come. Things to trip you up. Things to block the way. Even sometimes, God allows those. Did you know that? Obstacles. Why? Why does God allow obstacles sometimes? Right. To test and to strengthen our faith. To prove to us that he can do it. That we can trust him. And then to get you and me out of the spiritual ruts that we fall in. You can get in a rut as a Christian. And God wants us to break out. We've always expect things to be done the same way. But God's not like that. So sometimes life, as it were, even God can put things in our way. There's two more warnings. The second warning is this: God's will and fulfilling his will is serious stuff. Serious stuff. Very serious. And it demands our full attention and all our energy to do God's will. And I believe everything else is subservient to that. Remind me, please, if you don't see that in my life. God's will should always be the thing I'm pressing on for. Because the only thing that matters, spiritually. The last warning is this. Just as the priests were going into the River Jordan before God parted it, so we need to exercise our faith before we act. Then God works, and then we do our part after it as well. There's a sandwich here. All right? They're not just for lunch. God shows us. God then says, do it. Trust me. And then he does it. And then we've got to follow on with it. You see, we can't say to God, Lord, give me an experience first. But we often do that. Show me first. Part the waters first. Give us a sign first. Lord, heal first. And he says, no, that's not the way it works. Believing, trusting is seeing. That's what Jesus said. We take steps of faith first. And then God says, then I'll show you. But you have to take the step first. Have you heard of the quest for the 4-minute mile? Came across a lovely story. Man's been trying to run a 4-minute mile or less for over 1,000 years. Someone actually found something written about this, about the ancient Greeks, and how they tried to accomplish it. One was, they said, they set off wild animals to chase the athletes. All right? To see if they could do it. It didn't work. Now, put your hands up again if you liked milk. Right? Well, one of the methods they tried was, what runs fast? Tigers. Give them tigers' milk. And they did. They milked some tigers. And they gave it to the athletes. But it didn't work. So, they decided it is physically impossible for a human being to run less than a 4-minute mile. They said their bone structure is no good. The wind resistance is too strong. The lung power is inadequate. These are three of the reasons they said. There were a million reasons they came up with. And then one man, do you know when it was? Roger Bannister. I remember seeing it on the TV when I was 2 years old. I watched yesterday, and it's about 2 minutes, 38 seconds on YouTube. I'd encourage you. And it's actually Roger Bannister running the less, you can't call it the 4-minute mile, you have to call it the less than 4-minute mile, don't you? And I watched it. And he did a dubbing commentary of how he was feeling after it. And it was dubbed over it. And for 2 minutes, 38 seconds, I listened and I watched Roger Bannister. And there was a couple of other runners who were running with him. The 6th of May, 1954. That's when he ran it. But did you know, it opened the floodgates, because the next year and the year after that, up to 24 different people ran the mile in less than 4 minutes, each of them beating Roger Bannister's record. And up to that point, people thought it was impossible. And yet, that's what happened. But he was the first. and others followed in the wake of Roger Bannister. Now, in the book of Isaiah, there's this wonderful verse in chapter 44, it's verse 3. I have it in my study, and I looked up as I was preparing the message, and it says on my cupboard, it says, I will pour out his living water. And I've put in, sort of paraphrased it, his spirit upon this dry and dark town of Blackburn and around. Not trickles, not showers, but mighty downpours. Isaiah says, floods. Then you and I need to be thirsty and hungry and longing and praying for God and for him to do it. And I have that to remind me constantly. It is God. And I've got a thirst for God's will. And we have to. But God says, when you do, I'll send floods. And that wonderful verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. Wow, isn't that us? Yeah, isn't that us? Healing, forgiveness, healing the land. And they said it's for back in Chronicles. It's for now. And that's my challenge this morning. It's about preparation. And I think the key one that God's laid on my heart for this morning is praying. I put one notice, or Lynn put one notice in here for me. And it's called impromptu prayer. Thank you. Even that. Okay. What's that again then? Impromptu. I knew the word, but can't say it. That's not surprising. We're going to be holding various prayer meetings throughout the month in order to pray about all the outreach events and activities we're involved in. Please join as many as you can and use the prayer bulletin to help you in your praying. Further info tomorrow. That's what God's laid on my heart. We just need to be praying. It's all part of the preparation. There's other things that we're doing, but I think that's so important. God wants us to be on board with that. I just want to pray and then to hand it back to Pete. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We do thank you, Lord, that you communicate your will. We thank you that we can worship you, but you communicate your will. And Lord, I pray that would you give us the faith to respond? Would you give us faith, Lord, to step out into all that you have laid upon our hearts? I want to pray, Lord, that we would become a praying people in a very real and specific way at this time. I want to pray, Lord, that we would wake up, that we would sleep, that this would always bring upon our hearts, upon our minds, just coming before you and just praying for you to have your way. We thank you that you're a great God who wants to bless us in so many different and wonderful ways. You want to give us fruit spiritual fruit for all our labours and all activities. Just help us, we pray. Guide us, we pray. Give us faith, Lord. Let us be full of faith as we fix our eyes upon you. In your wonderful name. Amen. Amen.